on a subject I've shared with us before, journey into God's power. Journey into God's power. We need to take a journey into God's power when we come and we are saved. We must not leave the power of God behind in our lives. It is part of the package, is part of the completeness of our salvation. That the power of God follows us. One of the problems with Christianity today is that our Christianity is devoid, is bereft, it's empty, it has no power to back it up. And that is one of the major problems that we're having. One of the things that made people to fear God and tremble before him was because his power was being demonstrated. Today, we don't even desire and we don't even want to see the demonstration of the power of God. But when you see God come down in his glory and intervene in the affairs of men, your heart will tremble. You will not need anyone to tell you to fear God. That is why we need to see the power, the demonstration of the power of God. And we are going to see it in this place in Jesus' name. I say we are going to see it in your lives in Jesus' name. Yesterday when I came for the choir practice, I brought some cutouts just to show some people. And I pasted a copy on our notice board. It's taken from the West Australian of Thursday. How many of us read that article there? Praise the Lord. I read it. The people of the world are now coming to say that they now have scientific proof that the parting of the Red Sea actually took place. Using GPS and whatever they've got, all the computer modeling and archaeological evidence, they said now they can say that the parting of the Red Sea actually took place. I have a copy, I pasted it on the distance for us to see. When we see the power of God demonstrated, and we are the one to take it to the world, that is why we have an unbelieving world. Those of us who believe without seeing, some people are waiting for evidence to believe, and you have believed without seeing. And Jesus said, blessed is the one who believes without seeing. You have already believed. We need that power to, we need to take that power to the world for the world to see and believe. If they are waiting to see something. But you and I have believed. And the world is coming how many thousand years after that, after we have already known that God cannot lie, that the God we serve is true. Journey into God's power, and that power will be made manifest in your life in Jesus' name. Open your Bible to Psalm 62. Psalm 62, we are going to read verse 10 to 12. When we begin to see the demonstration of power in our churches, you are not going to have to tell people to submit. When Ananias and Sapphira saw the power of God, or when people saw it demonstrated in their lives, the Bible said the people trembled. We read it this morning. Psalm 62, verse 10 to 12. That's where we want to read. It said, trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Did you read that? If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. He said, once has God spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. That same power that planted the Red Sea that time, that same power is in operation right now. That same power is capable to part every Red Sea in your life. It is when children of God have not seen the power of God demonstrated in their life that they try to take on or try to go by their own wisdom and the devices of their hearts. That is not to say that even when the power of God was being demonstrated, that there were no people who tried to, you know, there will always be people who would think maybe, you know, maybe it was just a happenstance and they would try something. I've told us before that power is ability to do work. And power is the one that brings effectiveness to authority. If you say you have authority and you don't have power, then you don't have authority. Because there is nothing to back up your authority. And many of us who profess to be Christian will talk about the fact that, you know, yes, I'm a child of God. I have authority over this. I have authority over that. But you don't have power. Your authority is useless if there is no power to back it up. Because there will be some people who will be disobedient. It is the power that compels obedience. Because the Bible says that the people of God will be willing in the day of his what? His power. When there is a demonstration of the power of God, the people of God automatically become willing. That is why when you see people who treat the things of God with levity, it is because they have not seen the power of God. They have not seen God in their lives. No man has really seen him, has seen the manifestation of the power of God and treat God with levity. Such a man will shudder. Such a man would tremble. Such a man would see how small he is compared to the God we serve. That is why the Bible said, that's why Jesus promised the disciples, said, please don't go out and preach. You just wait in the upper room in Jerusalem. Because he knew it was very important, because all authority had been given to him. But he needed to impart that power on his disciples so that when they go, that was why, you remember one Simon, the sorcerer. Do you know he was a believer? He was actually among the believers. He had believed with them. But God has not promoted him to that level. When he saw the apostles doing miracles, and he saw people falling, he saw great things happening in their life, what did he do? He went to them and said, look, man, I like this thing you are doing. He's been a magician all his life. Say, I like this thing you are doing. Can I give you this? And the Bible said, the man of God said, your money perish with you. This is not bought by money. It's not bought by status. It's not bought by who you are. It is the grace of God. It is God that brings you to that place. Paul also, when he was preaching the gospel and somebody was contending against the gospel, what did he say? He had that blindness strike the man, and immediately the man got blind for a while. Until Paul finished preaching, he didn't see again. Do you think that kind of man will contend again? He will never. Because he has seen the demonstration of the power of God. Like I've prayed for you, I say God will make his power manifest in your life in Jesus' name. One day, I was asked to pray for somebody. This person was actually doing something that was not good, that I thought would bring the name of God to disrepute. I think I've shared this testimony before. And I prayed that prayer. I just find myself in that circumstance, and I prayed that prayer, and I asked that God, that this person will encounter God. And I can reliably tell you that that was the last day that person ever did that thing. How did I know? Because that person encountered God. And they vow, without knowing, they vow that they would never do this thing again. That is the power of God. And he will show you that power today in Jesus' name. God has given us authority. But we need to crave the power of God. I've told us before, I said people who belong to the occult, they do anything and everything to get power. Some will sacrifice people. In fact, I've told us the story of an accountant that I saw the wife. This woman came with hypertension. And a family friend was treating the woman for a long time. The hypertension was not responding. Decided to bring this woman to me. And it turned out that this accountant, who was married to a lawyer, has not shared the same room with her husband for almost 15 years. This lady was still young. The man didn't tell me, but my take on it was that this man was probably in a cult. And they've asked him to abstain from his wife. When I asked him, you know, it became obvious to me that she was depressed. So after I spoke to the woman, I asked her to invite her husband, and she came, and he came. And I asked him, look, your wife is still young. How can you do this? He said, you know, women, you see, they like to gather things. She has so many loads. She has this, she has that. You see, that's why I said, you knew that women carry loads before you decided to marry her. She's not happy that you are not sleeping in the same room with her. Because for almost 15 years, this man hasn't touched this woman. And you know what? After I had seen them about 3 times, he moved into the same room with his wife. The blood pressure came down. You may not believe it. The blood pressure did what? Came down. I gave her antidepressant. She was well. And he came to me and said, you know what? He said, see what you have done to my wife. Because she's gone, she made her hair, she did all this, she was looking so wonderful and radiant. The people of the world will do anything to get power. What will you do? If you ask somebody to even, you see, Jesus was saying to his disciples, he said, how be it that this type does not go except by prayer and fasting? You ask some people, you say, let's come and pray. You don't want to pray. You say, fast, not to even talk of fasting. Let's stop playing games. If you want to serve God, serve him. If you don't want to serve him, you can stay in your house. Thank God we don't have a paid pastor here. So that you won't say, if you don't pay tithe, you won't eat. Praise the Lord. We don't have any paid pastor here. We are all doing it because we love the Lord. Sometimes we disagree, sometimes we agree on things, but we are doing it because we love the Lord and we want the best for him. But if we are going to do it, let's do it well, so that we'll get the right result, so that it will be written in our account in heaven that we have served the Lord faithfully. And you will see the glory of God come upon your lives. That will be your testimony in Jesus' name. Of course, the power of God will never come upon unholy vessels. The power of God will only come upon the vessels that are holy, because the Bible says only holy vessels, vessels unto honor, will God use. The Bible says in a great house, there are different kinds of vessels. The vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor. He said, if a man will purge himself of all these things, he shall become what? A vessel unto honor. Go and read Timothy. You will become a vessel unto honor in Jesus' name. The Bible said, the prince of this world came to Jesus, trying to find fault with him, and he found nothing. Because he was a vessel unto honor. When I say find something, you see, when they say the devil is the accuser of the brethren, Do you know what he does? It's not just false accusation. The devil makes sure that you have done something wrong. He will set it up that you will do something wrong, and then he will go to God and say, look, can you see? And you call this one of your children. And of course, because he knows that power will not reside with you when that happens. And because power does not reside with you, wherever he's gathering people together, you cannot do anything about it. Recently, we lost a family member who happens to be a Muslim. One of the things that was most painful is the fact that she had not given her life to Christ. I felt personally that it spoke badly of me. Although I do not have the power to convert people. It's the Holy Spirit that converts people. But we should be discipling people from our homes. That's why the enemies will come and ravage and come and steal from within people we know, because we have not brought them to Jesus Christ. Let the power of God be made manifest. And when it becomes manifest in your life, you will see your people running to God. They want to be saved. And of course, this power cannot be made manifest in your life except you are a humble person. Jesus, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11, the Bible said he humbled himself. And God did what? Gave him a name that is above every name. At the mention of his name, every knee shall bow. Jesus showed us an example of how to get the power. You see, when Jesus was on earth, if there was somebody in another village or something, they would have to go and call him. You can remember how, you know, just imagine how much he had to walk around. He would have to physically go to different places. Except he met a man with big faith that will make the faith of the man to leap and do something. He had to physically move. But after he had humbled himself and endured the shame of the cross, something happened in his life. His power is everywhere. That's why he doesn't have to be physically here. That's why he said, look, wait in this room. Wait in the upper room. He said, I will send you the what? The Holy Ghost. The Holy what? The Holy Ghost. You see, when you call him the Holy Spirit, is a different thing from the Holy Ghost. So what's the Holy Ghost? What's a ghost? What do we understand as a ghost? A ghost is the one who, what we think is representing the dead. That's why he told his disciples, he said, if I do not go, the Comforter cannot come to you. He had to be dead for the power of God to be made manifest and to spread to you and I. The same thing, except we die in Christ. That is, forget ourselves. I was at the training of the choir, and one of the places that was read in Revelations was that the elders did what? They bowed down and in worship. Not only that, they cast their crown. They cast what? Their crown. As a sign of what? Submission. They forget their title. They forget their abilities. They forget their gifts. They forget their power. They forget their prowess in order to serve him. He said, in humility, they bow before him. They cast down their crowns. That way, the power of God will drench you. The power of God will fill you. The power of God will accompany your life. And that will be your story in Jesus' name. Because in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 to 6, 1 Peter chapter 5, 5 to 6, particularly 6, he said, humble yourself before God, and in due time, he will lift you up. The Lord will lift you up in Jesus' name. I'm conscious of our time. I know it's public holiday tomorrow, so I'm, you know, but I could as well take liberty to spend as much time as possible. But no, I want to be disciplined too, as much as possible, so that we are finishing by 12:30. Praise the Lord. The other thing that I want us to take note, and take note properly, is this. This is where I'm going, because I've spoken to us about these other aspects before. This is where I'm going. Power comes in God. Power comes when there is work to be done. God will never deposit his power in the lives of people who are going to be redundant. People who are not going to use it. In fact, the people who manifest the power of God, they are the people who are acting in faith and in the business of doing something. The power may not be with them when they start out, but as soon as they take a step of faith, the power of God will leap on them and will be made manifest. Power will work when there is work to be done. I told us in Hebrew chapter 11, where you have people of faith listed, and I told you that every one of them did something. They were not counted people of faith because, did you read there where the Bible said, and the Lord searched the heart of this man and said he was of faith. Is it there? Where is it written in Hebrews 11? That the Lord searched the heart of this man, and because he was of faith, the Lord added the recovery. Hebrews 11. No. The Bible will say, and he was of faith, and he did this, and he did that, and he trembled before the Lord. He built the ark. This one sojourned in the land. This one obeyed God and moved out. This one, everyone that God will recognize as a man of faith and will trust with power will be people who are willing to act, who are willing to do something. The Bible says, is there any sick among you? Call the elders. Anoint him with oil. He said, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. In other words, the prayer of faith will have power in it to redeem the sick, to save the sick. There has to be a work that needs to be done. In other words, if you come in today and you leave this place, as soon as you leave, till next week, before you hear about God, till next week, before you even mention Jesus, till next week before, no power will show in your life. No power will ever show in your life. Because why give power to somebody who will not need it or use it? You know what? If you are not prepared to confront darkness or ungodliness, you do not need the power of God. What do you use power to do? To work, to fight. If you are not ready to confront ungodliness, you don't need the power of God. Because ours is a kingdom at war. And if you are not participating in the warfare, then you can as well just keep to yourself. You don't need that power in your life. It is when you are resisting. It is when you are fighting. It is when you are taking hold of kingdom. It is when you are expanding that the power will follow you. People who sit quietly, mind their own business, because that's what we are told to do. To mind our own business, you don't need that power. But we all know that if you mind your own business, the devil will mind his own business. He doesn't do that. He will want to pry into your affairs. The Lord will stay his hand in Jesus' name. The people who don't need power, they are the people who thrive in the status quo of the world system. They are happy to see the world pass by, the things the way they are. They are not desiring to see the kingdom of God come down and a change happen, to see righteousness prevail. If you can condone it, if nothing matters to you, then it's good. You don't need the power. Because the power is meant for such. I've said this over and over again in Mark 16, verse 17 and 8. He said, "This sign shall follow them that believe." And I told you that follow means, because Jesus, when he called people, he said, "You, follow me." Good. Some, you will tell them to be saved. "You, follow me." It's the same thing. He said, "This sign," I said, "the signs will not follow somebody who has nowhere that he's going." If you have no destination in the kingdom, signs will never follow you. You may holler, you may shout, you may do this, you may be eloquent. Signs will never follow you. But signs will follow you in Jesus' name. He said, "This sign shall follow them." Look at Elijah and King Ahab. Elijah probably wouldn't know that he could hold the rain captive. If he didn't go before Ahab and said, "The Lord before whom I stand, there shall be no dew or rain in this land for the space of 3.5 years. And the Lord had him, because there was a need for him to use. If you are not going to confront darkness, the power of God will not be made manifest. He never knew he could hold the rain captive. He never even knew that he could witness God's provision. Because when he came to the crunch, the ravens had to feed him. He did not even know that he could open and close heaven. In other words, there are some people who can open and close heaven over a country, over people's lives. Please don't offend them more. If they are living righteous and they call upon God, heaven will close against you. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Because the nation was not living righteous, Elijah closed heaven against a nation. And he chose to open it when it was time to open it. He never knew he had such powers until he was ready to confront darkness. He didn't even know he could call down fire until the need arose. You know what? The power of God will come down and come into the lives of those who want to fulfill their destiny in Jesus. He's able to give you the power to overcome. Recently, I saw a young man. He leads a worship team in a fairly big church. I'm not saying he's a member of the choir. He actually leads. I've been seeing him for some time. He has some anxiety problem. But beyond that, this guy comes. When he drinks, he starts to fight. He will be looking for trouble. The wife works, so sometimes she's on night duty. So when after he's drunk, that's when he'll begin to look for, you know, all these unsightly magazines and things like that. And then when the wife comes, he will say he is riddled with guilt. He will go and beg her and say, "Please forgive me. I did this while you were away." So I saw him recently, and he said, you see, I enjoy alcohol. You see, that's what gives me meaning in life. That's why I know I'm, you know, otherwise I don't have friends. I don't feel people want to socialize with me. And I said, he said it to the point, even though he was paying me, I became irritated and I told him, I said, "Please stop it." No, honestly, this last Saturday, I said, stop it. I said, but you lead the choir. You are a child of God. I said, do you know that the Bible says in James that bitter and sweet water cannot come from the same spring? I said, the day you make up your mind that this no longer will be part of your life, it ceases to be part of your life. I said, when you say your life is empty without alcohol, where is Jesus? He thanked me. Of course, he paid me my money. Praise the Lord. But that was what he came to hear. And I told him, you know what? There are a lot of Christians who have salvation without power. That is the power you need to confront the enemy in your life. He couldn't confront the enemy in his life. Therefore, he's powerless. And you know what happens is this. He will go and sing, lift up unholy hands to the Lord. And then he will come in and say, and you expect the Spirit of God to move in that church. Everybody will dance and dance and go home. You've enjoyed yourself. The guitar, the music, that's all. It's nothing spiritual. Maybe you don't know. I also know of a brother. There was something arose, and I had to go to this brother to talk things over. And this brother was telling me, oh, you know, you don't know how tough I can be. He told me how somebody offended him, and people called them to settle the matter between them. And when they thought everything is settled, he said, wherever this brother, wherever he, anytime he wash his clothes and spread it outside, he will go secretly and take knife and cut the clothes. And I told him, I said, where is God in your life now? I'm serious. There's no power in the life to beat the spirit of unforgiveness. Because the Bible says, the one that is born of God overcomes sin. If sin is overcoming you, the power of God is not yet in your life. I said, where is God? I said, how are you different from when you were not born again? He kept quiet. You won't believe. I've shared this with those in our house fellowship up north. Do you know also that Satan will use some people who will arise as your enemy? They will be the fault finders and obstructionists. If your destiny is going to be fulfilled, you need power, the power of God, to overcome them. My wife is just reading a book titled, Is It Girl Power? Praise the Lord. And the author of that book, because she was sharing it with me, describes scoffers. You know who scoffers are? Scoffers are people who deny the power of God in your life. When you mention your God, let me use Yoruba word, apology please. They say, what's all the yeye? They don't take it seriously. They want to diminish God in your life. But by reason of the message you are hearing today, the Lord will lift you above every scoffer in your life in Jesus' name. I said the Lord will lift me above every scoffer in my life in the mighty name of Jesus. If you think you are saved to just walk through this life like that, you are mistaken. Let me tell you, even Jesus said, he said, a man's enemy shall be people of who? His own house. If you are going to fulfill your destiny in the Lord, you need the power of God to overcome sin, to fight the battles of life. I will win. I say, I will win. I will be an overcomer. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. Life does not run on autopilot. Are you listening? Life doesn't run on what? On autopilot. Some people think if you just live life, instead of fighting the warfare of your life, praying, you think if you just live things like that, things will just go. Life doesn't run on autopilot. So, in your homes, if you live life to run on autopilot, what do you think will happen? The enemy will come and take over. Can you give me an example of somebody who left his home to run on autopilot? Eli was one. We read it this morning. Eli. The Bible, God said he was going to destroy him and the household. Why? He said because he saw his children doing evil and he did not correct them. So he just left things to run on autopilot. And God said, no. It doesn't work that way. Every home. Go and read 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11 to 14. The Bible actually says, Eli restrained not his children. That's what the Bible said. When you have a child that you don't restrain, please, when I say restrain, I'm not talking about tying rope to their hands, you know, that we don't correct. Eventually, that child will begin to run on autopilot because the Spirit of God will not come, except God comes in into their lives, into their life, and make a change. Also, churches don't run on autopilot. We've seen some churches running on autopilot. What's happened to them? Years after, accusation upon accusations. Because people are afraid to do the hard work. People are afraid to do what? The hard work. Recently, no, did I say recently? No, not recently. I'm talking about a few years back. One day I was coming from work. I'm going to tell you this story because I know you don't know the people who are involved. Okay? You may try and scratch your head. You will know them. Praise the Lord. I was coming from work. That's a few years back. And I got a phone call. I almost got home. I got a phone call. And this man, probably in his 60s now, called me and said he wanted to have a word with me. I said, okay. I've not seen this man for a while. My wife can bear me witness. So he said he had to see me now. I mean, I was just coming from work, tired. He came to my house. I don't know if my kids were listening because I actually took him to the other lounge. And he now told me his story. He said, the reason I believe he came to me was because what he had was against a member of this church at that time, please. That person had since left. He said, do you know? He said, I've come to you because this man is probably in his 60s and the other man probably in his 40s. He said, this man doesn't allow me to enjoy my wife at all. He said, he has taken over my home. He doesn't allow... This woman is in her 50s, oh. He said, doesn't allow me to enjoy my wife at all. And I said, ah. So when he finished, I said, please, can I ask him? He said, I can ask him. He mentioned the names of a few other people. I said, can I ask them? He said, ask them. He said, because they know these things that are happening, the text messages and things like that. I said, okay. I went. So I went and asked. Including, he even gave me permission to ask his children. I said, okay. So I went and set out to ask. By the time I investigated, the so-called accused person called me and had to talk to me about it and said, this is what is happening. Eventually, The person left. But let me tell you something. In the course of chasing darkness away, if you think darkness will not fight back, you are making a mistake. They waited for a while, and after some time, they concocted a story and left. Praise the Lord. You will never know. But churches don't run on autopilot. Whenever you see darkness, you have to confront it. Praise the Lord. You know what? Churches are full of de factos. Adultery, all sort of things. And we think it's just okay. The power of God will never move in that place. If I know. You see, I've told people, I said, look, have I come to anybody's house to poke nose into their affairs? I would never come to your house to poke nose into affairs. But something that has to do with the spiritual setting of this place, I believe that God has given me a commission to intervene. And I will intervene. I don't control anyone's life. I've said it before. If I can control my own life, I won't run to Jesus. It's because I know he's in charge. That's why I've gone to him. Even countries don't run on autopilot. It doesn't run on autopilot. Don't mind the fact that the two teams that played yesterday, none of them could win. It's pervading the landscape of Australia now. You can't get, in politics, you can't get clear winners. In footy, you can't get clear winners. Praise the Lord. The countries don't run on autopilot. And you hear Julia Gillard, you know, asserting herself every day. Because he knew that once there is a sense of instability, everything will keep coming down. As great as America is, what do you think is happening now? Things are just falling down. Everything is collapsing. People are out of work. The unemployment rate is almost 10%. Everything. Currency nosediving. They owe China over $1 trillion. The power of God will be made manifest in your life in Jesus' name. Lastly, that power of God that's going to be made manifest in your life, how do you intend to use it? How do you intend to make a difference in the life of people? You may choose to watch things go by. Even though God has given you a voice to speak against evil. That is not what God, because the Bible says God has not called us unto unrighteousness, but unto holiness. And when we choose to live holy, the Bible says we will be like the trees that is planted by rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its due season. You will bring forth your fruit in your due season in Jesus' name. Your children will bring forth good fruit in Jesus' name. God has to distinguish you in this land. When he distinguishes you, it will show in your children. Together here, you will see what God will do. What God will do in your life. What God will do in the life of your children. I've told us before. Some people are dying and they are crying. I've seen that before. A Christian, when she was dying, she was crying. And we said, what's the problem, Mama? He said, my children, they are not good. Some people are dying and they are smiling, laughing away, going home. You know why? When they look around, look at what they have done, look at what's happened, they say, Father, I just thank you. I bless you. I thank you. Because the Yoruba, they say something. They say, when the fire is dying out, it is covered with ashes. When it's dying out, what are you going to be covered with? Let's rise up and pray. Can you just speak to the Lord and say, Father, I desire your power in my life. I desire your power. Everything that will be a blockade, everything that will be an obstacle to your power in my life, remove it in Jesus' name. I desire your power. I desire your power. We want the move of God in this place. Every obstacle to your move in my life, Father, remove it in Jesus' name. I desire your power. I desire your power. Thank you, Jesus. I desire. It's one of those things I need to desire because I want to be effective minister of the gospel. So let it be established in my life in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Your word has not gone out empty-handed. Your word has gone out with a performance attached to it. Therefore, every life under the sound of my voice today, I decree victory to you in Jesus' name. I say, in place of weakness, arise with power in Jesus' name. In place of confusion, arise with a vision today in Jesus' name. That place in your community, you become light to it in Jesus' name. You bring about a change in the lives of people from today in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, the words we have heard today will not stand against us in the day of judgment. Even me who has preached this message, I will mount up with wings as eagles. I will move to a higher level in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.